This is Out of School, a podcast at the intersection of technology and education. My name is Fraser Spears and I'm joined again for all of 2016 by Bradley Chambers. Tonight we've got three sponsors for the show. The first is Squarespace, Jam Software and XMA. We'll tell you more about all of those as the show goes on. Bradley, new year.
First episode of the new year. Of course, we're recording still in 2015, but I'm excited.
Don't give away the secrets.
Yeah, I'm excited about 2016. Just had a post go up today, because I'm sure it'll still be on there, on the Sweet Setup about technology resolutions for 2016. I did one for 2015 that people seem to like. And, you know, one of the things I really kind of told people to do in 2016, or my recommendations, to really do two things. One is just disconnect completely more. And number two is audit your devices. And that was kind of something that I kind of went through this past year and saying, looking at the technology in your home and saying, like, what of this do I really need? Like, I know a lot of people that have like an Apple TV and an Amazon Fire TV hooked up to the same television. It's like, do you really need both of those? Like, why not just get rid of something? And so, yeah, I was at my wife's cousin's house for Christmas the day after, and we were talking about that. And he before had like a Bluetooth speaker in every room, and he has since kind of moved to the Sonos realm. And we were talking about like the ways that we love to use technology and the ways that we don't. And I don't know if you've ever used Sonos, but it's a pretty cool little setup.
I've never touched it. I've seen it in the shops and things like that, but I've never used it at all.
It's like, I think, the new Bose in a way. Like, it's because it's in their wireless speakers that are tied together, and you have to use their proprietary app, but it works with almost everything: Spotify, Apple Music, Google Play, all that. And so you can say, like, okay, this album play in these rooms, or just this one speaker, or all speakers. And then he's got their sound bar as well, and so when he's watching movies, he has like two wireless speakers behind him, and because kind of has, it simulates 5.1 surround. But it's very pricey. I mean, two of their small speakers are like $350.
Yeah. I'll stick with headphones and my iPhone, I think.
Yeah. So
I'm super low tech and all that kind of thing. We have one JBL Bluetooth speaker that we just take from room to room, and that's all we have.
Yeah, I have the big Jambox that I really, really enjoy. I kind of kept getting generic ones. I finally just said, I'm getting the one I want, and I really like it. And, I'm not in a place in my life where we are having parties at our home where we want music throughout the whole house. Generally, like, if I'm listening to music, it's because kids are asleep and certainly don't want music in their room.
And you're turning it on to, like, the first notch on the dial of volume as well in case you wake them up.
Bingo, yeah. So back at it this year, as we mentioned at the end of last year, before we took our holiday break or Christmas break, that we were going to start a new deployment series for 2016 and kind of just see where that took us. That'll take us, gosh, through a lot of the spring.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a list of, I think, about, including this show, about 15 different episodes that we're going to try and cover different topics. And I think the whole point of this, Bradley, we're going to reiterate a lot of things we said 2 years ago, but I think the point is that I was thinking back to what we said in the first show last time we did this series, and the point I made, and I think this is still true and possibly more true than it was even then, is that doing a one-to-one deployment or a major computer deployment is about the biggest thing that most teachers will ever take on in their career. The only thing I can think of that's even comparable or is probably bigger is building a new school building. And most teachers never have to do that in their lives. And I think this is the next thing. You know, no curriculum change, no introduction of a new reading scheme or homework policy, or even buying a new minibus compares in both the cost, the complexity, and also the impact across the whole school community that a one-to-one computer program can have. And I think that's why it is so critical to get it right. I mean, you would never think of building a new school building and handing it off to one teacher in one department to be in charge of that project. But all too often, that's what happens with computer programs, is the most enthusiastic teacher gets to do the job. And you would never have that for a building. You know, the person who's most into amateur architecture gets to be the architect for your new school building. I mean, that would never happen. But too often, that is exactly what happens with computer deployments. And I think I want to emphasize that this is a project that has to involve so many people across the school community, not just the technical people or the teaching people or the finance people. It's got to be a team effort.
And you really want to create here a single place to reference, and mm-hmm. you know, and also to kind of foster honest discussion among our peers. And that's one of the things, honestly, one of the reasons I love Twitter as much as I do and have been on there for so long, because like if I didn't say work in this industry and I just like for whatever reason like retired today, mm-hmm. I probably would just like vanish from social media. Because one of the things I love about Twitter is like getting to interact with people who love the technology that you and I manage and support, and to talk about it. And because everybody has different opinions and everybody has different perspectives, and they're all good because they are built from years and years of experience. You know, someone's got 10 years of experience has a different perspective than say someone that has two. And so I love the, you know, we've still gotten emails in the past few months about people referencing our 2014 deployment. And so we really wanted to create like a single place for people that's like, okay, I am in charge of this deployment. I have no idea what I'm doing. How can I get started? So yeah, that's kind of our goal. We'll create a new outofschool.com/deploy2016 slug on the website just for a place to link to. And but you know, and also I love professional development and I love going to conferences and classes, but gosh, they are incredibly expensive. And certainly if they involve any sort of airfare, and I don't know about like your school budget, in terms of like, the listeners, like, but you know, we don't have the professional development budget to send people on tons of trips and training that involves planes, because that just is very expensive because, you know, you got an extra 2 days, an extra travel, an extra day of hotel, then just the airfare alone, it just becomes expensive. And that's before even you go to a conference. And so I kind of liken this is professional development in your car.
Mm-hmm. And I think the thing about professional development as well is that you have to do quite a lot of it before it becomes worthwhile. You know, too often you get 1 hour of professional development and that's you being professionally developed. But I hope, you know, I suppose the whole year of this podcast, but in particular this series, is going to be a useful experience of deep professional development, so that you have, you know, hours and hours and hours of things to think about and then you go and work on. And then, of course, you're welcome to interact with us on Twitter and so on as well. And I hope that that will embed into people's minds more the ideas that we're trying to get across, rather than just, you know, I could come to your school and do an hour session on deployment and that would be it. But, you know, listening to us every week and taking it step by step, I think is going to be much more helpful.
And I look at, like, my role in the show helps me with professional development. Like, it makes me think deeper than I probably would normally. Like, mm-hmm. I spent part of Christmas in my Baron Fig notebook, like, just writing down, like, thoughts on device selection and thinking through, like, what are the pros and cons. And so it forces me to introspectively think harder. And we also want this to be a place where you can learn at your own pace. So again, let's say, you know, you are a teacher with a full schedule and you've been put in charge of this deployment. You may not have a week to go and learn from Apple or to learn about Wi-Fi, but you can at least get the high points from us. And so this is learn at lunch, learn on your way home, learn at the gym, you can learn at your own pace. And we want this to be like an opportunity for you to ask questions over many months versus like going to a 2 hour class.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, Twitter's always there and our inboxes are always open to everybody as well. I'm not necessarily promising that we can give you a full deployment plan for your school, but we could certainly help with, you know, direct specific questions. You know, I think I don't know if you get these emails, Bradley, but I get emails that say something like, I understand you're an expert on iPads. Do you have any tips for deployment? and if you're going to ask that question, the answer is going to be just listen to this series and you'll hear all our tips for deployment. And that's one of the reasons why I like having these series every so often, is so that I can say, yeah, here are all my tips. Go and listen to these shows here. So yeah, that's what we're going to do.
And one thing I guess I want to add too is, like, you and I both will have opinions along the way, and that's just ultimately that's what a lot of our thoughts are, our opinions. And keep in mind, like, this is not always prescriptive advice to every situation, but sometimes it's a descriptive narrative of like what we've done and what's worked for us and what works at our school. And so if you're hearing something and say like, that just won't work at our school for XYZ, that's fine. That aspect for you may be a descriptive narrative of what we do, but every situation is different. Like, you have to look at your school in the context of where your school's at the time.
Yeah, but also bearing in mind that not every school is a special snowflake, that there are some things that are common to almost every school. And because we're talking about the same technology stacks, when we talk about things that are true of iOS, they're as true of iOS in my school as they are in your school, right? So it's important not to confuse those two things. So, I mean, why am I trying to say here? One of the examples I think about quite a lot when I say that is that iOS is as much not a multi-user system for me as it is in any other school. So if you think that your school is so special that you're going to share iPads and that'll work out great for you, I would really like to hear a very detailed story about why that's different for you than the awful experience that would have been for me. So when it comes to technology, there are some things that are, they're just facts and we can't get around them. But in terms of the way that, say, for example, you communicate with your school community or you decide to set policy around X, Y, or Z, all of that is, you know, that kind of stuff is much more flexible to the individual school. But the technology is the technology. And I think that's one of the things that I've learned over the years is that the schools that adapt themselves to the way the technology is have more success than schools that assume the technology will eventually adapt to their needs. And that often doesn't happen because you're dealing with a platform of 800 million users or whatever the number is now. And it's not going to change just because you need it to. So that's an important sort of perspective to have as you go into these deployments.
Before we move on, let's thank our first sponsor of the night. This episode of Out of School is brought to you by Squarespace. Start building your website today at squarespace.com. Enter the offer code PUPIL at checkout to get 10% off. Now, you guys, if you've not heard of Squarespace, if you're new to the show for this deployment series, the things you want to know about Squarespace: you build sites that look professionally designed regardless of your skill level. There's no coding required. It's a drag and drop interface. They have intuitive and easy to use tools, and it's incredible. Every site is responsive. So that means like if you the various themes you pick, they look great on any device. And Squarespace has state-of-the-art technology powering your site to ensure security and stability. There's no software upgrades for you to apply. There's no very little downtime. I've been using Squarespace for many years for many websites. Very, very, very few downtime. In fact, there's almost none. Trusted by millions of people and some of the most respected brands in the world. It starts at just $8 a month, and you get a free domain name if you sign up for a year. So again, if you need a website for your school, for your baseball team, for your club, check out Squarespace. Enter the offer code PUPIL at checkout to get 10% off your first purchase. Squarespace, build it beautiful. So one of the things that we're doing is new this year with Out of School is we are launching a Patreon page. And so, Fraser, why don't you explain what Patreon is to our audience?
So I guess the name Patreon comes from the idea of patronage. I think that's where it comes from anyway. And the idea being that supporters of the show have an opportunity to kind of give us money directly, basically. If we've helped you in the past, if we have saved you time, if you think that this new deployment series is going to save you time or learning, if it's going to save you that airfare budget that we talked about before, this is a way that you can give some money, you can pledge some money directly to the show, and that goes straight to us to help us with, you know, the costs of spending time doing this or hosting or even just to make it more attractive for us to keep doing it, which of course we love doing. You can go to patreon.com/outofschool and you can sign up there to pledge a certain amount of money per month. And the first level is $3 a month. And that gives you access to the Patreon feed and some other things. And then there's a higher level where you actually get a thank you on the show as well and so on. But we're not necessarily going to do a lot more new things just for Patreon. The idea is that if you already like the show and you want to support the show directly, this is a way that you can do that. There will be some kind of behind the scenes stuff, and there's a feed that you can get on Patreon where if you're a supporter, you get to see additional things. So we'll probably put the show up as soon as it's available to the Patreon members. We'll do things like there'll be some sort of behind the scenes discussion of our deployment when it comes up in the summer and so on. I was thinking about maybe just some photographs and some notes from what's happening as I deploy and as you deploy as well, Bradley. Things like that. But it's mainly about just supporting the show. And if you've found the show useful over the years and think this new series will be useful, we'd love to have your support through Patreon as well.
Yeah, that is patreon.com/outofschool. And I'll have a link to that in the show notes. So again, $3 a month gets you access to the Patreon feed and your name listed on the Out of School Dean's List page. So we'll have a outofschool.com/Dean's List, and they'll just be where we acknowledge the supporters of the show. And then $10 a month, again, you get you access to the feed, get you on the Dean's List, and get you a thank you on the show each month. So one time a month, we'll mention all the $10 a month people. So again, you know, if you want to help us out, that's great. If not, that's fine too. But we just thought we would throw that up there in case anyone wants to support the show.
The regular show goes on. Nothing's going to change for people who are just listening to the show as it is. You'll still hear the same show on the same day at the same time as it always was. We thanks for your support and thanks for listening to the show as well. That's the biggest help.
So next thing we want to do is talk about the outline for the series, and so we can kind of give you an idea of where we're going. And this is particularly like if you're listening to the show and we've already, say, done the entire series or we're halfway through and you need help with a specific area, that'll let you know kind of when we're going to cover it or if we already have. So first thing is, this is today, it's what's changed since we last did the show in terms of like technology stack and with software. Second thing, what makes a technology-friendly head teacher / head of school / principal? You know, what are the qualities that person needs to have? Because again, we'll talk about that. The leadership drives it. Number three, what drives the reasons that schools deploy technology? Like what are we trying to do? Number four, network examination. So here's what we'll talk about, like how to look, is your cabling good? Is your switches, are they up to snuff? Do you have okay Wi-Fi? That's where we'll talk about the and we're not necessarily going to get into here's how you manage your switches, but like here are the questions to ask. I was talking to someone, a former coworker, a few weeks ago, and was basically having some Wi-Fi issues. And he said, "I don't even know the questions to ask of the person that manages that." And so that's the kind of things we're going to try to help with. Number five, device selection. Number six, management systems. Number seven, the Apple ID strategy. That'll be a fun show.
Yes, that's the voice of experience talking there.
Number eight, configuration profile do's and don'ts. And so here we'll talk about like Apple Configurator and then MDM configuration profiles as well. Number nine, teacher training and development. Number 10, apps and accessories for one-to-one. Number 11, financing and rollout. Number 12, parent and community communication. Number 13, backup, disaster recovery, and file storage. Number 14, measuring your success. Then number 15, deployment day.
That should take us there. I certainly hope that that covers most of the things that you'll want to know. And I really want to emphasize what you just said, Bradley, which is that the whole point of this is partly we'll tell you how to do some things, but mainly we'll tell you the right questions to ask. And because schools are different in some respects, the answers might be different for some schools than for other schools, but there will be other times where the answers are pretty much the same for everybody. Like, do I need an MDM? Yes, pretty much you do. Things like that. But we'll come to those questions as we get there. And hopefully over the course of this series, you'll start to get a feel for the extent of this problem. Because although I said at the start, this is one of the biggest projects a school can do, it is not infinite in its scope. And this is something that I think people who first come to thinking about going one-to-one, they can see it going out in all these different directions, you know, 15 major areas to think about. And they sort of get overwhelmed by the idea of how big this project is. And they can't sort of see the way to the end of it. And I think, although it is a big project, it is not unbounded in its scope. And it's important to realize that as you go into it, that it actually can be corralled and it can be contained, and you can actually see at least the end of the beginning. It's not something that stops eventually, hopefully, but you can sort of get towards the point where I can see how I get to the day where we are all one-to-one or whatever in our school.
Before we move on with talking about what has changed since 2014, let's thank our next sponsor of the night. It's XMA and their All Learn program. As an Apple solution expert, XMA is perfectly positioned to support your institutions with the deployment of iPad and Mac. XMA has built upon their 30 years of experience to create the unique All Learn program for iPad. With All Learn for iPad, XMA can help you with the planning, financing, and managing your iPad deployment. XMA can also use their accredited trainers to deliver Apple professional development to teachers and staff to ensure you get the best results from your Apple products. Visit xma.co.uk to learn more about them, or follow them on Twitter at @wearexma to discover more about the All Learn program for iPad. So if you're listening to the show and listen to this deployment series and you need some help, check out XMA. Thanks to XMA for sponsoring Out of School this week. So what has changed since we started this? Really, January of 2014, because that's when we started the deployment series. So it's really 2 years old.
Yeah, 2 years ago this month, I suppose. And I think one of the first things that's changed, Bradley, is the iPad lineup is different now. It's much bigger than it was before. There are now three sizes instead of two. And there are now, how can I put it? There are many older models you can get than 2 years ago. So, of course, we had the iPad 2 back then as well as the more recent ones. But nowadays, we've got the iPad Air, the iPad Air 2, the iPad Pro, of course, the iPad Mini 2, and the Mini 4. So there's now two kinds of iPad Mini, two kinds of 9.7-inch iPad, and now this big, expensive, fast, wonderful iPad Pro as well. So those are some of the questions there. You know, first of all, just which iPad are we going to go for? We're also looking at a much wider range of price-performance trade-offs than we were before. 2 years ago, you were simply looking at there's a fast one and a slower one for a bit less money. But now you're looking at a number of different things, not just price and performance, but also some features. So things like multitasking support in iOS 9 is only available fully on the Pro, the Air 2, and the Mini 4. Is that right?
Yes.
For the full multi... The Mini doesn't have the full 2-up multitasking, does it?
Well, it pulls in, like, the iPhone...
Do slide over.
Yeah, you can do slide over, and then up. and then it does the picture.
Well. Yeah, yeah. But then you've got on the iPad Pro, of course, you've got the full two up iPad size multitasking. On the Air 2, you've got 2-up multitasking, but it's not iPad size. So you've got some of these things to trade off as well. And then, of course, you've got Apple Pencil support on the iPad Pro and USB 3 class compact flash reader, if that's important to certain classes that you might have, and so on. So some of these major features are not always available in some other iPads. Even iPads that are current, latest generation of their size, maybe don't necessarily support all of these features in the same way that they're supported on, say, the iPad Pro. That doesn't mean that everybody should buy the iPad Pro. It just means that there are more things to think about when it comes to device selection now. So I think that's a big change overall.
Well, and one thing too is we sadly still have 16 gigs on the market, but A5 is currently dead.
Yes, yes. So new generations of chips. But then you also have questions like, well, if you go for an iPad Air, you can't get a 64 gig version. There are all kinds of strange steps in the storage levels nowadays. So we will explore all of those details as we go through it.
Now, one thing... to consider at this point, as we're talking about kind of what's changed, is there is currently a rumored spring release date for iPad Air 3. So it's possible throughout this series that iPad Air 3 may come out.
It might well do. You know, the sort of speculation there is, you know, it's a 9.7-inch iPad with an A9 processor and Apple Pencil support, is basically the idea of what most people imagine there. Of course, it's not out yet, and nothing's out until it's out, but we'll try not to. I hope we don't have to redo that show. We're only sort of, 5 or 6 weeks away from doing that show. So if everybody listening at Apple could please get that shipped in time, that would be great to have that before the show comes out.
Yes, that would be good. Next thing that's kind of changed, we have come a long way in iOS software. So I guess, was iOS 7 even out then? I guess not.
Well, 7 wouldn't have been out. Let's see. This is 2015. We got iOS 9. 2014, we got iOS 8.
So 7 was
September.
Out.
So 7 was current when we did the series back in January of 2014. Yep.
Yeah, so a lot has changed. Storage providers, the document picker area, that has really matured for me in the past, 5 months.
Yes, you know, this got substantially better and also much more widely supported.
You have app extensions and widgets and then Touch ID as well. And so... To me, iOS from basically iOS 7 to now is, it may look roughly the same. It couldn't be more different though in how you use it day to day. I mean, even just little things I do at work, uploading documents to websites, like that just works on the phone now. Not a big deal. It just works. And 2 years ago, you had to use an alternate browser to trick the website you know, to allow you to pick something else. It was really kind of a hack.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And, you know, there are basically new workflows now that enable you to do things like that. And the other one I love is being able to insert attachments into a message that you've already written in mail messages as well. So that kind of thing is rich. And also, of course, Bradley, new apps have come out since 2014. So you now have got apps like Workflow, which we didn't have before, which is incredibly powerful. You've got Today View widgets, things like that as well. You know, there's lots and lots of places where there are just new hooks and new things that you can do as well. And that always, I think that maybe has more of an impact for teachers than for students in some areas. And that's something we'll talk about in teacher training is, you know, whether part of your goal is actually to get your teachers more mobile than they are as well. Because that's something that seems to not happen very often in school one-to-one deployments, is the teachers all stick with their laptops and they get an iPad on the side so they know what the kids are doing, but the kids get the iOS device. And that's something I'm kind of interested in for the next couple of years, is how do we get teachers to go more mobile? We'll talk about that.
Next thing is, you know, although apps are still apps, I think the way we recommend and pick them is probably will have changed. Some apps have matured and deepened, as you mentioned, but some have not. And in, you know, if you have an app that hasn't been updated since 2013, really, really going to be hard to recommend it today. You know, and as iOS has really changed over the past few years, it's no longer just like this app still looks like iOS 6, but now it's like this app is unusable on iOS 9 because it doesn't support any new, you know, modern APIs.
Yep. There's a whole aspect also, Bradley, of apps now coming with a subscription component, or indeed a server-side component. So if you think about, for example, iPhoto in earlier versions of iOS versus the Photos app now. Your Photos app, I think, is great and really powerful, but it also has the server-side component of the iCloud Photo Library, and how do you deal with that, and what do you do about that, and so on. And the other ones, of course, are the Adobe Suite, which are maturing nicely on iOS, and of course, Microsoft Office being the big beast in terms of subscription-backed important iOS software, and what are you going to do about that as well? So now you're thinking more about, instead of just the cost of the app, you're talking about subscription costs and so on as well. So that's something that we'll need to think about as we go through the application section.
Yeah, because as I look at my phone today on the home screen, outside of any app from Apple, there's not a single app that really functions without a back-end cloud service. Yeah.
And that's a major change, I think, over the past couple of years, is that the cloud has become almost as important, or at least it's now a layer of the stack that you cannot ignore and you cannot not have a strategy for. And I think maybe 2 years ago, that was not necessarily true, that you could have Google Apps or whatever, but maybe if you didn't have it, it wasn't a showstopper for your deployment or whatever. But now I think it's something that you really need to have thought about as part of your deployment. Is, are we going Google Apps? Are we going Office 365? Are we doing something else? And if so, in what way is that something else better than what you're being offered for free or almost for free with those other platforms?
Before we move on, let's thank our final sponsor of the night. It's Jamf Software. You guys know Jamf. They provide school IT staff with enterprise tools that power widespread use of Apple technologies, Macs, iPads, iPhones, and even Apple TVs. They have a great app for teachers called Cast for Focus, where they place these great technologies directly into the hands of teachers who work with students every day. Cast for Focus allows teachers to quickly gain a student's attention, conduct secure exams within an app, select a specific Apple TV, choose and distribute iBooks, and even initiate AirPlay right from within the app. Cast for Focus really allows teachers to take control of their classroom deployment from their own iPad. Learn more about Cast for Focus, the Casper Suite, and Jamf Software at jampsoftware.com. Thanks to Jamf for sponsoring the show this week. Now, another thing that's really, I'm going to say matured, I know it's not everywhere, but it's widely available, is the Device Enrollment Program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is, when did DEP come out? Was it just when we last did our show, our last series? Certainly in the US, it's been out since then in the UK. And other countries.
It had just came to the US, but I know like nowhere outside the US had it because they didn't have a place to work with resellers.
So device enrollment, I think, is one of the most important changes that has happened since our last deployment series, because it has very serious implications for your purchasing plans. So before, there was not really a lot of difference between doing a school lease or purchase of devices and essentially just buying some out of a shop somewhere. But now doing a formal lease or purchase from an Apple or an Apple reseller enables you to have device enrollment, which, and device enrollment is starting to just, with iOS 9, is just starting to become a thing that is another layer of control above being supervised. So we know from years past that supervised devices are allowed to have configuration profiles that unsupervised devices don't get. For example, blocking FaceTime and iMessage. But now in iOS 9, there are now some features that you can have as an admin that have to, your device has to be supervised and it has to be in DEP before you can do these things. And the only one I know about right now is your ability to force an upgrade of iOS from your device management server. That requires both supervision and device enrollment in order to happen. So if you don't have device enrollment, even if you do notionally own the devices, that's going to be something you can't get. So device enrollment, I think, is becoming a very important part of a deployment.
Yeah, I agree. And it's going to just help automate your deployment as well.
Yeah.
And so we'll kind of get more in depth on that.
I think that's a theme, though, Bradley, is that the more sort of managed your deployment is, the more automated it can become. And I'm seeing people, people who have device enrollment, have centralized leasing programs, are just rattling through deployment. Whereas people who are doing, buy your own iPad programs are spending literally weeks just helping people get their iPads up and running and configured even remotely sensibly. And never mind people who are doing bring your own device. I mean, I heard from a bring your own device school recently where they said that at the start, the tech guy said that at the start of the year, we block off, I think they said 2 full weeks in our calendar just to do, knock on the door tech support with people coming up with some random device that they couldn't get working on the Wi-Fi. And I think that's becoming a major differentiator for managed deployments, device enrollment, MDM server, everything up and running within a day versus bring your own device, free access to the Wi-Fi, weeks and weeks and weeks of ad hoc tech support. And I think that's something that we'll have to cover in some detail when we get to that point.
Yeah, I would say DEP is the single reason to not do a bring your own device deployment in 2016.
Yeah, it's another thumb on the scale of doing it in a centrally managed fashion.
And we kind of covered this with the app deployment, is software as a service is even more prevalent than it was in 2014. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned, pretty much every app on my phone now largely is backed by some sort of cloud service. Even like Dark Sky, my weather app. Like if that doesn't have a connection to their cloud service, it's useless. Mm-hmm. And so that is something that when you're thinking through apps, it's almost like you think cloud service first, and then do they have good apps second?
Yeah, because no matter how good the app is, if the pricing structure of the cloud service is wrong, or if the management level of it, its ability to be managed centrally is poorer, then it's going to be difficult to deploy. And quite frankly, we could say that iCloud is one of those things that does not have a good management backend. But iCloud being so integrated into iOS, you've basically got no choice but to somehow deal with it, or at least have a strategy for dealing with it.
Next thing, teacher training is different today than it was in 2013, 2014 time. There is less of a focus on like the app, like I got to find a new app, and more focused on the actual OS and your current app, stack. Like what apps do we have? We deploy these 5 apps for our school and we use the heck out of them. And how can I do more with iOS to make it more of a desktop replacement? And so it's less, I feel like the app craze is currently kind of gone.
I think that's a function of the apps maturing as well, because when we started in 2010, the apps were so weak. I can think of times when we used, we had like 10 or 12 different photo manipulation apps on the iPads, because each one of them could only do one effect. And nowadays you've got an app like, say, Instagram or something that has hundreds of filters and all kinds of stuff, or you've got Procreate or Snapseed from Google, for example. And these are all great apps that can do all your photo manipulation stuff inside one app. So the number of apps that you need is reducing because all the apps are becoming more capable as well. But I think that the bigger picture in the point you're making, Bradley, is that those schools that are, have gone one-to-one iPad for a while now, or are thinking about it, there's more awareness that, that this isn't going to be a silver bullet for massive increases in attainment, for example. It just simply doesn't deliver. You know, I can't say to you that go iPad one-to-one and you're going to put 10 points on your exam scores. It just doesn't work that way. That's partly the fault of the exams, partly just different goals, I suppose. But I think what people are becoming more aware of is those higher order skills that are critically important as well, but they're not necessarily measured by the same tools as you measure lower order skills like comprehension and recall.
Next thing, mobile device management system upgrades. This is certainly, this platform for Apple has certainly matured in the last 2 years. You know, some people have been bought. I think Maz 360 is owned by IBM. AirWatch has been bought by VMware. I'm sure this will continue to happen. Meraki is no longer free. So farewell, Meraki.
Yep. I think I remember 2 years ago, I went to visit a university in North Carolina, and I flew out from Manchester Airport to that trip because they had a direct flight. And I remember that was the day that I realized that MDM was a big deal, because I walked into the airport and everywhere in the airport was adverts for was it Mobile Iron by VMware or whatever it was you just said, one of those big enterprise MDMs. And I just realized that, you know, mobile device management was now kind of airport software. You know what I mean by airport software? It's the software that you only ever see advertised in airports for rich business people to spend a fortune buying for their companies. And the whole place is plastered with MDM posters. And I thought, oh, okay, this is now becoming a thing that enterprise is doing as well. So, you know, over the past couple of years, I think that you're right, some consolidation. But also the key thing as well, Bradley, is that there's now a track record of different vendors keeping up with Apple or not keeping up with Apple. And that's critical for the speed of your deployment, is that you cannot end up in a situation where you can't move to iOS 9 because your MDM vendor is dragging their feet on iOS 9 support, for example. And there are some big names who did not do a good job of that in this transition. So it's something that that's, there's now information that you can use to make better decisions about MDM use overall.
Yeah, because it's not just about like how does it work when my initial deployment, but it's on year three of a 4 year lease. How are they doing?
Yep. And that's key, is having that multi-year perspective. I find that very often when I talk to people who are planning a deployment, is they're only planning up to the day that we deploy. And then, you know, we'll deal with the end of term next year when it comes. But what's important is developing that sort of sysadmin mindset of what do we do next year? How do we roll this over? How do we transition? How do we move to new devices? And then, of course, we'll talk about things like backup and disaster recovery and all those things that really matter to systems administrators as well.
Last thing that's changed is like on the networking front, 11AC is really matured at this point. And, you know, obviously some vendors still sell 11N products, but I can't think of a single reason to buy 11N. 11AC is really mature. Wave 2 is on the horizon for iOS and for the Wi-Fi vendors. Not saying you should wait on it. You know, the 11AC gear that's out now is incredible, and you're not buying the first generation of it. So, and so if you've got an 11N system, I would recommend before you do a new deployment to roll to 11AC.
And the other thing that's changed in networking, Bradley, is with iOS 9, there's a whole range of new attachment points for VPN type interventions on your networking stack. So you can, I haven't seen a lot of products based on this just yet, but you know, these are the kind of things that when Apple brings out those APIs, it takes a year for people to kind of do something useful with them. The same was true of document providers for the first year of iOS 8. And I think within the year, we're going to start seeing some interesting new products come out that leverage some of the new VPN capabilities in iOS 9. And some of those might be targeted at schools as well.
So, yeah, that's kind of where we're at. That's what has changed. And we are thrilled about the series. And it's a lot of fun to get to do this again. That was probably one of my favorite set of episodes we did a couple years ago. And so I'm really, really excited about the 2016 deployment series.
Absolutely. So let's just remind people where they can find things. Our website is outofschool.net. You can also find us on iTunes. Our Patreon page, patreon.com/outofschool. I'm on Twitter at Fraser Spears. Bradley, you are at?
Bradley Chambers, and on the web at chambersdaily.com.
Now, before we go, do we want to invent a hashtag for this series? I think something short. I think the reason I'm suggesting that is because it might help people if they want to tweet us questions or something. We could grab that hashtag and we could maybe automatically gather some kind of questions document that we could address feedback with.
What about like hashtag deploy16?
Sounds good. That's short enough to get a question inside it.
Yeah, so if you have questions, hashtag deploy16. Be sure to include those in your questions.
Yep, we'll get some IFTTT action going and gather ourselves all that feedback, and we'll try and address that on the show as we go through as well.
So we'll be back next week. Episode 2 of the series is going to be what makes a tech-friendly head of teacher/headmaster/principal.
Good stuff. Talk to you later, Bradley.
Bye.